Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Solentrump of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Today we're going to talk about Shocker Softball with Associate Head Coach Elizabeth Economan. Elizabeth is entering her sixth season with the Shockers. Wichita State went 34-18 last year, played in an NCAA regional for a second straight season, and the third time in the past four. We've got a big weekend for Shocker Softball coming up. They have their banquet on Saturday night. On Sunday, the Shockers open their fall schedule versus Pittsburgh State, which is where Elizabeth coached for six seasons. That scrimmage is at 1 p.m. Let's start. We're sitting in the press box at Wilkins Stadium. We're about 20 yards from the new batting cages and turf. It looks like there are four new batting cages. There's a turf area. I guess you could take some infield practice. What all do you do over there, and how does that help the Shocker softball program?
Well, it's an unbelievable space to have added to our practice area. So we've been in it for just a month now, and there's actually six regular size cages. There are three big cages if you pull the middle partitions back. So we're able to do lots of station work or get more ball flight information. If you want a bigger cage, so you can see which what direction, how far, how hard, all that stuff on the ball. But it's done. We do have extra space. The pitchers have been able to throw down there when they all five work together and do pitching conditioning. Opposing teams will be able to warm up down there. We have not taken infield yet because we've had pretty good weather for the fall. So, but I would assume we could do drill work and stuff.
So it's big enough you could do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, just some glove work and things like that. But yeah, it's a great space that we absolutely needed. We were getting the work that we needed to get done in our previous cages that are still up, but we went from 1.5 cages to six, which is a big time improvement because it seems like hitting is contagious here. I think now that we've had some success, everybody wants more, so there's more kids coming in on their own. They need more space, so we've gotten some more machines. We've been lucky to have a couple donors really buy into our philosophy, and it's taken off. The girls are loving it.
Ball flight information, so that sounds like the video tracking, all that kind of velocity, all that kind of stuff that we hear about. How much is Shocker softball using those kind of things?
It did sound pretty smart when I said it. we do have some technology, and we do use it. We have not used it a ton down there yet, but they're able to see the flight of their ball. Because sometimes in the cage, you hit a ball and you think you hit it really well, but it's a cage bomb. It goes off the top or the back pretty hard, but in the real, you know, if you're hitting on the field, it might fizzle in the center field or so. So we do talk about spin and contact points and whether you actually hit it hard or you think you hit it hard a lot down there. But we are incorporating some technology just that came out a little bit smarter than it probably should have.
Well, it did sound really smart. Is softball, you know, this seems like now it's just a given in baseball. Is softball, big picture, on the same rate as baseball? Did baseball adopt it sooner than softball?
I think a lot of that technology stuff did start with baseball, but it's really becoming popular in softball, and a lot of big programs are getting the big time technology to put up during games and give that data, you know, the exit velocity, the launch angle, the projected distance. They're putting all that stuff out. You know, some of the bigger programs do a lot of that. We would like to get to that point. But, you know, we have hitters, too, that, like Sid McKinney, may not hit it as hard as Lolo, but that's okay. It worked out fine for her. So there's lots of gives and takes. I always tell them the harder they hit the ball, the less likely it is that somebody will step in front of it and catch it. So it's beneficial, but not necessary every time.
Okay, you've been here six seasons. The last three or four have been, you know, with the NCAA appearances. We call this the best run in Shocker softball history. So kind of big picture, how's that changed things as far as local attention on Shocker softball? Do you hear more, you know, do you hear more comments maybe in the grocery store, things like that? How would you quantify maybe how things have changed?
You know, locally, it seems like we're more recognizable, I think. And, you know, for us, I usually leave here when I go to the grocery store and I'm wearing my softball gear. And so that catches somebody's attention. And then they talk about it a little bit, or they've seen it on social media. And because our girls are doing a great job of using their platform for positive posts and all that. So it does seem like we're a little bit more recognizable. I think, you know, now that I've been here for 6 years and my family's been here for 6 years, we know a lot more people. Our kids are at daycare and school, so we're reaching a few more. So then we get more fans, and then they talk about it and they tell their other teachers. And so it becomes kind of a a new network of people that start getting excited about it. So kind of tapping into maybe a new group of people that haven't otherwise thought about softball. You know, I was hoping, and I think our coaching staff as a whole was hoping, that it would really impact recruiting. And I think it is. We wanted it to be immediate as far as going to back-to-back regionals and then getting the attention from bigger recruits. We were hoping it would take, you know, make an immediate impact. And I think it will eventually. It just hasn't had the quick onset that we wanted. I think our new batting cages are a big deal. I think the investment the athletic department is showing into our facility in general is going to make a big impact on recruiting. But yeah, when it comes to local people, they all want to come out and watch a game. My chiropractor this morning wanted to know our fall schedule. So he'd come out and watch. He thinks it's a blast. So
it is. It is a good game. I think it's definitely. I was going to ask about recruiting, because I think that's everybody, a lot of people, myself included, just assume, all right, well, you had the success and everybody around here thinks it's fun and thinks, why would you not want to be a part of this? But recruiting probably works differently. Do you think about it as, all right, 5 years ago we were involved in a pool of, say, 100 kids, and maybe we got one or two of the top 20, and now it's not any easier. Coaches never like that word, easier recruiting, but now we can get maybe three or four of our top 20, and instead of maybe taking maybe a project out of the bottom of that list, we're trending toward more of our kind of kids. Is that a way to think about it or explain it?
Yeah, I mean, at times I think our coaching staff does an amazing job of developing talent. So we're getting some looks from the kids that are higher on our list than we had 5-6 years ago. But recruiting becomes harder because now we have to replace Sid McKinney and Lolo and Zoe Jones. And that's different than replacing maybe three seniors from 7 years ago. So the level of talent, you'd always like to make improvements when you bring in a new player, or at least see the potential in, you know, their ceiling being higher than those that are graduating, which is hard in some instances. Well, I mean, you know, some of our players are, it's going to be tough to replace Sid McKinney, but everybody in America would have a tough time replacing her. So we're not alone in that. But, you know, our coaching staff really digs in and develops talent. So I think our recruiting focus has become more on kids that have been in winning programs, that know, that have that kind of competitive edge, that hate losing, but that also want to dig in, roll up their sleeves, and get better. So I explained to the recruits when we're on the phone now, because September 1st has passed, so we can talk to juniors now, so 2024 graduates, and we try to explain to them that we're looking at a 6-year window, that by the time they get to college, they'll have 2 more years of high school club ball to improve. And then, when they're a freshman, we would like them to continue to get better their entire career. So from now until then, we're looking at 6 years. And so our coaching staff is projecting, how good can you be in 6 years? Which is really hard to think about when you don't know them as well as you want to. You don't know their work ethic. You don't know their dedication. Are they a student of the game? Do they have the physical capability to get better in 6 years? So recruiting is very challenging for that reason. And then, you know, the people that we're competing against, we're continuing to fight for recruits with Oklahoma State, Missouri, KU, sometimes Missouri State, North Texas is kind of jumping in as they're joining our conference here. In the next couple years, we find ourselves fighting over the same kids with them. So it becomes a little bit of a dogfight. You know, and then we have to step outside the box and say, okay, what fits our program? How can we develop these kids to turn them into what we will need in 4 to 6 years? So it's a little bit of, you have to really have a crystal ball.
This is similar to when baseball was coming up in the 70s and the 80s, I think, in that there's this super competitive little pod of schools in this area. Oklahoma is obviously awesome. Oklahoma State is very good. Missouri, Arkansas, and Wichita State is very much part of that. You play them in the non-conference, you play them home and home. You're going to run into each other in regionals all the time. How does that help telling a recruit, look what we're a part of, look who you're going to play with and against? We're kind of in this little group here in this area.
Yeah, recruits love that. When you the American Conference is pretty competitive softball wise, or has been in the past. And then when you tell them how close we are to the Nebraskas, Arkansas's, KU's, Missouri's, Oklahoma State's, we're going to play a tough non-conference schedule. And kids love to go and be the underdog and go to big places that are going to have big crowds and upset them. And I think a lot of the kids that we will play against on these other teams are friends or former teammates of our current roster. So then it gets a little more competitive that they want to take it out on so-and-so who chose this school over us. And then it gets pretty intense, and it creates some fun rivalries. But yeah, our non-conference schedule especially this coming year, is going to prep us for conference in a big way.
Fall practices started earlier this month. Give us some big picture thoughts. What do the Shockers want to get accomplished?
Yeah, I think our practice has been really good so far. We've had, I think as soon as school started and everybody got kind of settled in and was able to come out and get some reps and get in the weight room and kind of get settled before practice started, we had the most interest of any team that I've seen in my six falls, meaning there were more returners that came out and did stuff on their own and just were ready to kind of itching to get after it. And really our freshmen this year, typically freshmen come in, they're a little tentative, they're not sure, can I do this? Am I going to step on any toes? They're kind of trying to find their way in just about everything. And this freshman class didn't hesitate as much as classes in the past of jumping in and being vocal and coming out and doing extra reps and being kind of jumping right in the mix of things and making themselves mesh immediately. And that goes for our transfer as well from Lauren Hall from Arkansas. She jumped right in and it feels like she's been here the whole time. So I think the immediate cohesiveness of the team was really obvious for some of us. And that was fun to watch the kids come in right away, run through the office, say hi, going out, going to take some swings, and just they couldn't wait to get back, which I think is fun coming off of a great season, but also really exciting knowing that we returned a big chunk of our squad from last year and they know what it takes to compete at a high level. So they're out doing the stuff. The freshmen have bought in right away, so we shouldn't really skip a beat. Now, we might take some lumps in the fall. Our fall schedule is tougher than it has been in the past, and that's by design. Coach B, wants to see how we stack up against Oklahoma State, KU, Missouri, because that's the reality for us in the spring. We need to see how we can handle big-time competition and really strong pitching from the opponent. So we're going to throw ourselves right in the fire and give us a good list of things that we're going to need to improve upon before February.
So 6 years, top seven hitters are back, so you've got a lot of experience. Hit us with some of the newcomers who are making a good impression at this early date.
Yeah, I mean, on the hitting side, everybody's kind of jumped in. I would say Taylor Solacek from Nebraska, she was at Bennington High School. She's power right-handed hitter, kind of a utility. She played shortstop, she can play the infield, she's been playing some outfield for us. Really good understanding of hitting mechanics and approach, and really strong in the weight room, gets after it. She's kind of caught everybody's attention with her desire to work hard. Hits the ball really hard, really strong kid. Sammy Hood is from Allen, Texas, another right-handed hitter, really smooth, played for the American Freedom organization out of Texas, which is pretty solid. Lots of potential in her bat. Hits for power.
And she is she hit the record home runs in the Dallas area, something like that.
Yeah, I think right. 20 or 21. I mean, pretty highly recruited athlete, plays shortstop, really good glove work, reminds, for those of us that remember Kaylee Hecker, reminds us a lot of Kaylee Hecker on defense, which is really exciting.
Wow.
And we'll see. We've got a lot of time here, but some of the stuff that she does with her glove and her arm, we have to double take and go, man, that looks just like her. So that's definitely a perk for us, because we all know how well she did for us on defense. Sierra Hoekstra is another middle infielder from Overland Park, Shawnee Mission, North maybe, high school. She can play short, she can play second. She's kind of sneaky fast. Hits from the left side, more gap to gap right now. I think she's really buying in the weight room, and Colin, our strength coach, is excited about her being able to add some pop from the left side. And then Cece Fleming, another left-handed bat, she's from the Chicago area, really athletic, really strong, put together well. Another utility, can catch, can play outfield, could probably play the infield as well. 5'7", 5'9", like a big athletic, really excited about learning, kind of raw, but wants to jump in and wants to learn, like is a sponge right now, which is really exciting. So she's looking good. I'm always on the spot, and I know I'm going to forget somebody. Sarah Probertz is a pitcher. I would be lying if I could speak to that too much.
We won't ask you too much about pitching.
Lefty, doesn't hit for us, so I talked to her a little bit about being left-handed. And then Alex Aguilar, another pitcher from Texas, also does not hit, but has been – they've both done well in our inter-squad scrimmages so far, and I think are going to be good additions. And then Lauren Hall, who we picked up from Arkansas. She's from Jefferson City, Missouri. We knew her out of high school and watched her – as a club player, and I think she'll be a really big addition for us.
Yeah, I think people will be curious about her. She played 2 years at Arkansas, now at Wichita State. What kind of impression has she made? How would you describe her as a pitcher?
She doesn't mess around. She's in our two inner squads, has been very efficient, goes right after people, gets them to put the ball in play, has multiple different pitches that she can get you out with, and throws a couple different speeds, which is the key for really annoying an offense. So I think her maturity and her experience will give us, because otherwise we're pretty young in the circle, so she adds the only upperclassman, I think, in the pitching staff. So her experience and her ability to really kind of command what she's good at has been nice to have thrown in the mix. So you add her with Allie Cooper, Mackenzie Schoper, who returned, and you know, we've got a lot of different looks, but Lauren's been a really great add for us, and I think feels really comfortable with our team and is really happy about the move she made.
Have you talked to Lauren about Central Dairy, the famous ice cream place in Jeff City?
I have not, but I am familiar with Central Dairy and used to take my pit team there all the time when we would go play Lincoln. That was the main attraction after the game. It doesn't matter what time, as long as it was open, we were going.
That is good stuff.
Yes.
I've been to Central Dairy. I know it is a Jeff City landmark, mm-hmm. So she's got to be familiar with mm-hmm. it. I'll ask about first base, because you lost Neely Herring, a 3-year starter, 2-time all-conference pick, hit a lot of home runs. What's first base look like for the Shockers?
You know, it's kind of a toss-up right now, and you know, our lineup will be built around offense, as it always has been, but we've got some options over there. Cam Compton's back. She's had some first base experience in the past. Zoe Jones played first a little bit at Texas Tech before she got here, so she can do that. Kristen Nelson's been taking some reps over there. She's good on the corners. And we've added Caroline Talent to the mix because she's very capable, and actually Caroline's offensive, her work that she's put in on the offensive side has taken off in a big way. So we're putting her in different positions to see what fits, you know, what makes the puzzle look the best. But I think we've got four options over there right now that we'll probably try a little combination of that all fall. Obviously some having more experience than other. Cam's gonna have the most experience, Zoe after that, and then Kristen and Caroline might take them a little bit longer to get the hang of it, but they're both smart, so I like our options over there.
So you mentioned development earlier. I would guess maybe Jess Garcia kind of fits that profile. She hit 242 as a freshman last year, bumped up to 326. She really gets on base well, walks a lot. She was second team all-conference last year, playing third, playing catcher. What's next for her as a junior?
Yeah, I think same thing, kind of mixing behind the plate and third base. I think she has a really good understanding of how her swing is built and what areas she needs to improve upon to kind of bump up to that next level to make her more competitive against maybe pitches that she doesn't necessarily love at this point, but she knows what she has to do to get to that point. But she's a tough out, and she's, you know, she's not real big, but she hits for power. She does have a knack for getting on base. So we would look for her that same, same consistent offensive approach, and maybe just bounce around defensively. It's, you know, anybody that's got a good bat, it's going to be a tall order to win the DP spot, because that's Lolo's. You know, she's Lolo's kind of the anchor of that. She's been crushing the ball this fall. So Jess is going to have to really get into a groove at third or behind the plate to make sure she gets the at-bats, which I think she will. She loves hitting so much. She'll find a way to get in the lineup. But yeah, we would look for that a little bit. Third base is similar to first base in that we have a few kids that we're gonna try over there. Jess being one, Kristen Nelson, Zoe can play third. Taylor Solacek could play third. Sarah Hoekstra might be able to play third. I mean, we've got quite a few kids that could take some reps at third. So we'll do some rotating through the fall games, just like first over there, to see who's the best fit. But, you know, Jess has got a lot of experience over there. She's done that a little bit for us in the past. I don't think we'll see her in the outfield again. We tried that as when she was a freshman. That didn't it's not her cup of tea, so we'll keep her corners and behind the plate.
So you've got Sydney McKinney at shortstop and Addison Barnard in the outfield. People are going to be familiar with those names. So as a coaching staff, how do you challenge people like that? How do you keep it fresh? And I guess maybe that applies more to Sydney, who's been here for 5 years now, has seen it all. Both of them are really, really good. How do you keep pushing them?
I think it's, you know, bringing in kids like, you know, Lauren Lucas, who had an outstanding year last year. And, you know, you put Abby B and Lauren Lucas in the, you know, in center field, and you let them duke it out a little bit. And that's, you know, that's pretty fun. And they're obviously a right-handed and a left-handed option. And they're both going to play. It's just a matter of where. But, you know, for Sid, we brought in Sammy Hood's a shortstop. Taylor Solacek was a shortstop. Sarah Hoekstra's been a shortstop. We've brought in a lot of middle infielders that, you know, you bring in and think that at some point they will take on the role when Sid graduates or make her continue to get better. Sid doesn't need a lot of external motivation to continue to get better. She really takes a lot of pride in the work that she does. So we never worry about her getting complacent at all. It's been really fun to watch her teach the young ones and really kind of just say, hey, think about it this way, or kind of take them under her wing and show them the way. And that's been, I know some of the freshman shortstop are looking at her like she's, please tell me everything you know before you leave. You know, I got to take it all in because you've obviously done this at a very high level and have had a lot of success. So I want to know what you know. And Sid takes a lot of pride in that and her ability to be a leader on and off the field. And she does the right thing. And it's really fun to watch from the outside and kind of, you know, proud coach moment where you know that she's doing all the right things for all the right reasons. And our kids are paying attention. So we don't worry about her slacking off. She's going to continue to get better, whether everybody's watching or not. And I think the young ones are watching right now, which is a big key in their development.
So Sydney also seems to be stretching her social media wings or legs. Lately, she's making some funny videos. She made one, I think it was her. She interviewed a bunch of teammates or got a bunch of teammates to do their impressions of Coach E.
Yes.
Rate the video for accuracy. How on target was it?
12 out of 10. It was spot on. It was very good. to the running form at the end was pretty precise. I loved it. I watched it over and over and over again and just laughed. And I think, you know, for me, I have to be able to laugh at myself, and they made it pretty easy. So, but yeah, that video could have been a lot longer because there's a lot of things that I say on a daily basis, and I'm glad they kept it short. You know, at some point there may be round two of that. I'm sure they've got plenty of ammo stored up.
Did you know they were doing it?
I didn't know beforehand, but they kept coming in my office and taking my bucket hat and my sunglasses and be like, I'll be right back with this. So then I figured it out. I didn't know why. It wasn't my birthday, or I don't know, but it was awesome. I loved it.
Was there one of the impressions that you enjoyed the most?
All of them. I loved them all. The running really. I thought the video was over, and then when Jess Garcia took off running into the outfield, that was a cherry on top for me. Put me over the edge, but. Yeah, I definitely have said all of those things this week.
Yeah, were there any of them where you thought, I didn't know I did that, or I didn't know they were paying attention?
Yeah, I was happy to know they were listening. Because I do oftentimes try to be optimistic while also teaching, or give some type of comedy that maybe it'll stick in their head a little bit. Because, you know, it's a game after all.
Yeah, that was very entertaining.
Yeah, I loved it.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.